when we turn our attention to kids and, well, some of the trends. For some reason, it's never a good trend that we're talking about. Kim Minch is joining us, a parenting coach, founder of Real Life Parenting Guide. And we're talking about the latest TikTok trend that might come into focus as kids go back to school in just a few weeks. Kim, thanks for joining us this morning. The latest one is kids damaging the Chromebooks or laptops or whatever they get from school to use this technology throughout the year. I mean, this just sounds kind of crazy.
Yes, but most TikTok challenges do sound kind of crazy, yes. So, and kids are risk takers, some of them more so than others. So I think it's a really great conversation to start having parents and kids before they head back to school. If, you know, something like this reforms this fall, then, you know, comes back into circulation this fall, like as a TikTok challenge, it's important for parents to have the conversation with their kids starting even during the summertime.
Is this something, Kim, that, I mean, school districts should really get out in front of to let their students and parents know that they will be held accountable if this happens?
Well, I've seen news stories on this from May in New Jersey and Texas and Florida. So this is not something that's like seems isolated. It's happening in a number of districts. I can imagine that it will be, you know, prudent to the districts to be ahead of it and having discussions on it and talking, how are we going to talk to the kids about this year, this coming school year? We don't want to see this resurface. So I definitely think the districts, and again, it's also on parents to be talking about, like, what is our family value? And our family in our house, we value safety over being popular. And kids today, they, you know, some of them are very prone to wanting to be popular rather than be safe.
Well, it's an interesting topic because it's coming at a time where a lot of schools are maybe changing the way they view technology. Here in New York State, all school districts, public school districts, that is, have to have a no cell phone policy during class, bell to bell, in place. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you think that might start the conversation about the use of devices outside the classroom. The focus is on instruction time and things like that, but could we start to see this maybe snowball a little bit and say, well, you know, hey, maybe it's a good idea at home too?
Potentially. You mean
cell phones and things like that?
100%. My job as a parent coach, I specialize in working with parents of 20-somethings who are not launching into life because they are addicted to their phones, addicted to gaming. Like, this is a real problem with older, you know, late teens and 20-somethings not moving ahead in life. We really have to be very prudent about the practices that we have as young children and within our family when it comes to electronics and screen time, because it can result in some serious stunting of, you know, taking on adult responsibilities. I work in that every day.
You know, with all of this said, Kim, when do you think kids should get a smartphone? At what age? Because there's a big debate about it.
Yeah, I have 5 adult children, and I've watched them go through this myself and have, waited on some and given some earlier than others. I would say, looking like hindsight being 20/20, definitely 8th grade. As a minimum, and then really easing into the social media after that. But I've been the parent who's given it to someone younger than 8th grade. I'm just telling you, based on my personal experience and what I see with parents that I coach, 8th grade should be a minimum, and then really easing into the social media. That's the problem. It's not quite so much the texting that goes back and forth with kids as it is the messaging they're getting through social media.
Is it possible to bring back dumb phones to start that movement with kids where, I mean, that's what it was like when I was in high school. I remember a lot of people had cell phones, myself eventually included, but they were flip phones. You could maybe send a text. It took you a little while to press those numbers to do so, but you could communicate, but that's what the phone was for and nothing else.
Right. And I think I'm sure that's possible. And I think some parents have gone to that. I think it makes a lot of sense, like stepping into having all of that information coming at you, and parents, it's very hard to, you can put the best parameters in place, and it's still very hard to censor the information your kids are getting, because even if you're a very diligent parent, you have your kid's friends' parents who maybe aren't as diligent, and they have access to things that your kid is seeing virtually, you know, just by being in a friendship. So we're not going to get away from it, but we do have to be mindful of where it's taking place and how much time they're spending on it. It is, I don't care if you're fighting with your kid about it, you as a parent need to set some parameters around how much they're using and what they're seeing.
Even with parental controls, it seems that those smartphones make kids, or really anyone, so vulnerable. And I think a lot of people would support going back to those flip phones or just the basic phone so you can make a call in an emergency.
Right, right. If they need, if they're done with the practice early and they need to call their parent, I mean, that's the whole reason, you know, that some of these kids get phones earlier than they should, is because they need to communicate with their parents. On the other hand, they're also then having access to, you know, all of this information that can be coming at them. And it, let's face it, it's very hard as a parent to stay on top of everything that's coming at you and what your kid might be seeing on a screen. So delaying that as much as possible, I think, is important.
Everybody wants to look for that hard, fast rule, though, right? But that's not always the case. I'm thinking, you know, everybody, oh, what age? What age? What's the age I should give my kids a smartphone? It's probably different for every kid and what they can handle.
Quite frankly, it is. I mean, you know, and some kids are more risk-taking in general than others. Some of them are going to get sucked into a TikTok challenge. Many of them don't. And you know, part of it is inherently, what is this, you know, child's level of risk? And the other is, how, what is the quality of the relationships with the parents at home? That really does have a lot to do with it. I do think that parents who have good connection with their kids, meaning they can have open conversations about things like TikTok challenges or dating or drugs or, you know, whatever it is, if they can have open communication and they spend quality time with their kids, doesn't have to be a huge quantity, but quality time with their kids that they're connected with, those kids have a deeper sense of, this is, you know, I am loved and accepted for who I am. I don't need to do these things, these silly challenges, to be seen. I am seen for who I am. I truly believe that parents have a great deal to do with whether or not their kids make choices that are, you know, unhealthy or unsafe.
Kim, thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Kim Mensch is a certified parenting coach and founder of the Real Life Parenting Guide.